I can reconfigure it from here. It's as easy as that. It was Bobby who gave me the clue. I just hadn't thought out of the box as he did. If I restrict the space-like interval to a couple of meters, then the rest of the wormhole span becomes time-like. Bobby leaned forward to see. The screen now showed an equally grainy image of a much more mundane scene. Bobby recognized it immediately. It was David's work cubicle in the wormworks. David was sitting there, his back to the viewpoint, and Bobby was standing at his side, looking over his shoulder.
As easily as that, David said again, his voice small, awed.
Of course, we have to run repeatable trials, properly timed.
Hiram said, That's just the wormworks. So what?
You don't understand. This new wormhole has the same, length as the other.
The one that reached to Saturn?
Yes, but instead of spanning 80 light minutes...
Mavens finished it for him.
I get it. This wormhole spans 80 minutes.
Yes,
David said. 80 minutes into the past. Look, Father, you're seeing me and Bobby just before you summoned him away.
Hiram's mouth had dropped open. Bobby felt as if the world was swimming around him, changing, configuring into some strange, unknowable pattern, as if another chip in his head had been switched off. He looked at Kate, who seemed diminished, terrified, lost in shock. But Hiram, his troubles dismissed, grasped the implications immediately. He glared into the air.
I wonder how many of them are watching us right now.
Maven said, Who?
In the future, don't you see? If he's right, this is a turning point in history. This moment, right here and right now, the invention of this past viewer. Probably the air around us is fizzing with worm cam viewpoints sent back by future historians, biographers. Ha! Hagiographers!
He lifted up his head and bared his teeth.
Are you watching me? Are you? Do you remember my name? I am Hiram Patterson. Ha! See what I did, you assholes!
And in the corridors of the future, innumerable watchers met his challenging gaze. Book 2. The Eyes of God. History is indeed little more than a chronicle of the crimes, follies, and misfortunes of mankind. Edward Gibbon, 1737 to 1794. 13. Walls of Glass. Kate was in remand, waiting for her trial. It was taking a while to come to court, as it was a complex case, and Hiram's lawyers had argued, in confidence through the FBI, that her trial should be delayed anyhow while the new past-viewing capabilities of WormCam technology stabilized. In fact, such had been the wide publicity surrounding Kate's case that the ruling was being taken as a precedent. Even before its past-viewing possibilities were widely understood, the WormCam was expected to have an immediate impact on almost all contested criminal cases. Many major trials had been delayed or paused awaiting new evidence, and in general only minor and uncontested cases were being processed through the courts. For a long time to come, whatever the outcome of the case, Kate wouldn't be going anywhere. So Bobby decided to go find his mother. Heather Mays lived in a place called Thomas City, close to the Utah-Arizona state line. Bobby flew into Cedar City and drove from there. At Thomas, he stopped the car a few blocks short of Heather's home and walked. A police car silently cruised by, and a beefy male cop peered out at Bobby. The cop's face was a broad, hostile moon, scarred by the pits of multiple basal cell carcinomas. But his glare softened with recognition. Bobby could read his lips. Good day, Mr. Patterson. As the car moved on, Bobby felt a shiver of self-consciousness. The WormCam had made Hiram the most famous person on the planet, and in the all-seeing public eye, Bobby stood right at his side.
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.